We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hour number two of the Hurricane Hotline. If you don't know, I'm sure you do know by now, the Hurricanes football season is on pause for the remainder of November. They'll jump back into it in August. Hurricanes with a COVID situation. For more on that, earlier today, University of Miami Athletic Director Blake James joined Joe Rose and Zach Krantz.
Miami Hurricanes Football on the Joe is sponsored by Milam's Markets, your football tailgating headquarters at the stadium and for your home parties, Milam's Markets. And joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, the Athletic Director for the University of Miami, Blake James. Blake, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Blake, we're doing a little bit better than the UM football program right now. Can you talk a little bit about the decision that was made to postpone or cancel the games till December? How did it all come down?
Well, I think it's probably no surprise to anyone. We're dealing with COVID issues, as is the rest of the world. And I think you saw this past weekend that we were short of a sizable amount of our team. And as it continued to progress, it climbed to a number where it just wouldn't allow us to play the game, really looking out for the safety and well-being for our students. Those that are unable to play because of positive tests or contact tracing, and those that aren't impacted by that, but again, just the sheer numbers of and the demands of playing the sport. And so it was in the best interest of all involved for us to reschedule those games.
Blake, just a follow-up to that then. You got a couple weeks. Obviously, the goal now is to get everybody free of COVID-19. How will you quarantine those kids? You're at college. You're in a really difficult place. How do you go about it? What extra things can you do now?
Well, again, as we've done from day one, you know, Joe, and I know I've talked with you all about this, is continuing to look for the experts at UHealth to give us guidance in how we do that. And again, whether it's quarantine, testing, whatever we do throughout this process. And again, we've had young people that have tested positive and young people that have been in contact tracing dating back to when we first started this back up. And so it's something we're dealing with. Obviously, our numbers right now are bigger than what they've been, but it's continuing to work with those that are really experts in this field on what we need to do, and then getting our young people to buy into those processes and making sure they're doing their part to, one, help not only themselves, but help bring an end to this virus.
Blake, right after the game, Manny came out and said that they were close to not even playing the game against Virginia Tech. What were those conversations like with Manny before you guys decided to play that game, and how close really were you from trying to possibly canceling that game versus Virginia Tech?
We were real close. As Manny said, it came down to really Friday test results. I think you're both aware of the ACC as an outside company that tests all the schools on the day before the game. With our game being on Saturday this week, it was a Friday test. And I had been in communication with the league during the week. I'd been in communication with the athletic director at Virginia Tech as to where we were at. And obviously, we got the results on Friday, and I gave them a heads up. But as part of the process, we have a call the day of the game that we go through, both the athletic director and medical director from both institutions in the league office go through. And so while I'd give them a heads up that we were ready to go on Friday night based on our results, we do have a call every day or every game day the morning of just to confirm. And so we had the follow-up call that Saturday morning and gave the thumbs up that we'd be ready to go.
Blake, you got December 5th, Wake Forest, December 12th, North Carolina. So the plan going forward, I guess Georgia Tech, we'll see how everything plays out with everybody involved in ACC. But as far as you know, those games they're set to be played in December, correct?
Yeah, they're set as we sit here today. And again, I think, you know, if you guys both know, as we deal with COVID, things are constantly changing. And so as we sit here today, we're going to play Wake Forest on December 5th and North Carolina on December 12th. And if it is a situation where we're not in the ACC championship, most likely we'll play Georgia Tech on the 19th. But those are all things that are going to be dependent on where things continue to go with us and where things go with other teams in the league.
Blake, I guess the next question is basketball's next up. What are you dealing with there right now?
Again, I'm one that believes it'll be a challenge, but I know that we have, again, a great system in place. We'll need our young people to continue to buy into the things that they need to do, whether that's avoiding groups of people when at all possible, to social distancing, to wearing their masks, to washing their hands, all the things we've been talking about dating, you know, back to the beginning of this process. But I do think it's going to be a challenge. I think we'll see the need to have some flexibility with scheduling and playing of games. You've already seen it with us. I think the day we announced our schedule, we found out that the team that was supposed to open with us 1 week from tomorrow wasn't going to be able to do that. And so I think there'll be some adjustments that are needed to be made along the way. There may be some situations where we can't get all the games in that we've scheduled. But that's just a reality of what we're, you know, dealing with and really living in right now as we battle through this pandemic.
The next 2 weeks for the football team, is it going to be Zoom meetings? Is it going to be like how it was kind of in the beginning of the pandemic, everyone kind of stay away from each other, but meetings and everything still going on with coaches and players?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's going to be a lot different over the next 2 weeks. I mean, I won't say it's going to be all Zoom meetings. I think it's important for us to, for those that their health allows, for them to continue to have some type of conditioning. You don't want to just take a 2 week break of everyone just sitting on Zoom meetings and all of a sudden Right. Start back up and think you're going to play a game and really have the best interest of our young people involved. And so there's a number of steps that we're working through with U Health in terms of what they want us to do in terms of testing and quarantining and those types of things to bring people back, out to one conditioning to, you know, to contact and hopefully ultimately getting to competition there on December 5th.
Blake, obviously it's been a crazy year for everybody, especially college sports and specifically college football. But how about this? I mean, the Pac-12's trying to get going. They've barely played. Everybody's all over the board. You guys are sitting there playing as many games as anybody at 8. Somebody that just started playing has jumped ahead of you in the rankings and stuff. It's bothered some people. What have you thought, considering everything? You had any problems with what's going on with college football so far?
Well, again, the first thing, Joe, I'd say our presidents and collectively athletic directors and medical advisory group made the right decision of starting the season when we did. I know there was some that questioned it at the time, but I think when you can look back, it was the right decision for us to do what we did. We're 8 games in. I think as a league, I think we've played over 60 games. 65 is the number I want to say that sounds right. And so, again, for us to be able to have those opportunities for our young people to play, I think is a real win and something that I'm glad that we're able to provide these 8 opportunities for all the young men in our program. They've worked hard and they've earned it, and I'm confident that we're going to get more games in. Hopefully we get all 11 in for them. In terms of rankings, I don't get caught up in rankings. At the end of the day, if we go out and win our remaining games, I think we'll be in a good spot, and the rankings will play out in the end, and we'll earn an opportunity to do something at the end of the year, and whatever that is, we'll take advantage of that opportunity and enjoy that experience, and that's what I look forward to. Where the AP or the coaches want to rank different teams at different points of their seasons and whatnot is something I think that creates a great conversation for all of us, and obviously gives a sports radio some things to talk about. But what's most important for us to do is to, one, follow the protocols we need to right now to be ready to go December 5th and take on a Wake Forest team that obviously is quite explosive, and we'll be ready to go and waiting for us.
Blake, I know it sounds weird to say this now, but it's been a success, right? Everything that's happened with the ACC and the SEC, I know there's been games that have been canceled and games that have been moved this week or next week or take an extra bye week, but so far so good since the start of everything, and call it a success, right?
I would, and Zach, you know, I would share this with you. On Monday, I was talking with the president's leadership group, which I'm a part of, and the president's chief of staff reminded me that back in August, when we first released the schedule, I had made a statement that if we can get 8 games in, it's a success. 11, right. I thought, as did many of my colleagues, was aspirational, not knowing where this all would go. And to think that we're 8 games in, yeah, I think it's been successful. Do I want to get all 11 in? Without a doubt. And again, we're taking those steps to hopefully be able to play. And again, you don't know where this is going to go with everyone else, and who knows, there may be some more reshuffling of the schedule because this type of situation happens with another school, but right now we're just focused on doing our part to be ready to go there December 5th.
What's the biggest thing you're going to be doing along with Manny now over what will be your biggest job overseeing the sports department for you now with everything going on?
Well, I think when you look at the athletic department as a whole, Joe, it's you got so many different moving parts. Again, as we're bringing an end to our fall sports season, and again, back to Zach's comment, I'm happy about the success. We were able to get in a women's soccer season, a volleyball season, and cross country, our other 3 fall sports, albeit abbreviated, but they all got an opportunity to compete. We're working on getting our winter sports going. We talked about basketball here earlier, and we have indoor track and swimming and those sports and what we need to be doing. And so, again, it's continuing to kind of work with all the different moving parts on bringing us forward and, again, creating opportunities for our young people to compete in the sports that they love. And so on the football front, right now my biggest thing is really to continue to work with Manny through the guidance of our UHealth people on doing the things that we need to do to be ready to go December 5th. We're not playing a game this Saturday. We're not playing a game next Saturday. The most important thing for us to do right now is to do our part as a program to take the correct steps to, one, first protect these young people and their health and well-being. And so I assure you there won't be anyone back out competing before they've gone through a variety of tests, making sure they're cleared and ready to go. And then, again, it's just continuing to make good decisions and really reinforce all the things that they need to do based on the guidance from the experts on trying to bring an end to this pandemic. And it's a challenge. We're seeing it here in our community, and the numbers are going up. And we're seeing it around the world. And so it's just something that we have to continue to talk about on a regular basis. And those are conversations we'll continue to have with our coaches and with our young people, probably on a daily basis.
Blake, if I told you that Manny Diaz listened to music in his headsets during the game and not to his coaches, what kind of music do you think he'd be listening to?
Well, I listened to the show, so a smooth jazz.
Oh, you cheated. You cheated, Blake. You cheated. Okay, that's
come
fine.
On. I listened to you guys. I listened to you guys in the morning. I thought, that was a question that came from Joe that I was hoping Manny would give him a good answer to that one.
Smooth jazz was a great answer.
So I got to tell you something. I just want to just say for a second. I mean, the week before, we got people, Manny's calling the plays defensively. Manny's been involved. Manny's doing this. When people weren't happy with the defensive coordinator, so I kind of threw it out there. And then I end up getting that answer. So I guess I get what I deserve. All right. That's
smooth jazz was the best answer Manny's given in about 2 years.
I thought it was great. I think it might have made me have a little out loud chuckle when I heard the answer.
Oh, that's good. I bet awesome. I could do that. Blake, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you coming
on.
Thank you.
Always happy to come on. You guys stay healthy, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, that was Blake James, athletic director for the University of Miami.
All right, let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. At Williamson Cadillac, it's customer care, friendliness, and reliability. Those are the pillars. Those are the golden rules. If you decide to check out Williamson Cadillac, that's what you'll find. Friendliness, reliability, customer care. And right now at Williamson Cadillac, you can experience everything that Williamson has to offer with its award-winning lineup. You can make a statement in their unmistakable XT crossovers, engineered to stand out, the XT4, the XT5, and the XT6. Perhaps you're interested in a sedan. They've got the CT sedan series dedicated to performance. Or, of course, the original icon, the Cadillac Escalade. Visit their state-of-the-art facility, conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or view their entire lineup online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Good to hear from Blake James. He was on Packer and Durham earlier today as well. And joining us now is Wes Durham from the very popular Packer and Durham show. I want you to know, Wes, that I no longer watch the Today Show. I watch Packer and Durham every morning.
Well, yeah, Don, I'd start laughing too.
He's the best.
Joe, we got to find something for you to do, man. Come on, bro. Let's
wake
find
up.
Something else.
I don't watch the Today Show. Or Good Morning America anymore.
Let's walk. Let's get out and do a walk. Let's get out and, you know, go through your emails. Let's do some things. Let's get productive. You don't need to spend time with me and Packer that much. You get a little bit when you...
Well, you know, I just want you to know I record it every day, so no matter when I get home or I get to watch it.
No, you don't. Come on.
I know everything about the show now, right from Pack not being able to drive the golf cart at the ACC.
How bad an oversight is that when the commissioner told him he was voted non-essential? Oh, what a travesty. What a travesty that was. Yeah.
Well, I was voted that at home, so it's okay. I'm used to it. They could have voted me that. My sweet little wife voted me non-essential years ago.
Hey. Yeah, well, I got voted non-essential the first time around too, Don, so congratulations for all that club.
Yeah,
I'm back
good.
At it in a better way now, though, but it's okay. So there you go.
Good.
All right. Well, so what do you make of the situation that we're in now here with the University of Miami?
Well, here's the thing. Up and through last weekend, 65 of the 71 games had been played as scheduled in the ACC. It was 91.5%, right? And I thought, you know, we may have a chance here. I didn't think we'd pull it off all the way through, but I thought we had a chance. And let's be honest, at some point somebody was going to have a longer-term deal. And, you know, Miami's is a two-week run, and that's the safe thing to do. And we're not that far away, guys, from the CFP being pushed back and, you know, other things like that, because there's just time. We just have to create more of it. That's all. It's not that we have to shut it down, but we have to give ourselves the best chance to finish it. And I think, you know, that's what the ACC did yesterday. You know, when Blake was with us this morning, I thought he was right to credit Commissioner Swofford and the people involved in Greensboro for understanding the structure that they built when they started this with the flexibility on the back end. And yet at the same time, also understand kind of how the games needed to move, right? You knew exactly where the ball kind of had to be pushed in order to get this thing fixed. And the fortunate part for Miami and the fortunate part for the rest of the ACC is they were able to kind of get everybody to understand that flexibility and understand that nimbleness and get it redone. And look, I think you're in a position where, you know, you have a loss and it's to a team that now has a loss. So if somebody were to upset that team, then all of a sudden you guys continue on the way you are. You got a real chance to go to Charlotte and play Notre Dame on the 19th. And, your game with Georgia Tech would go by the board. And that's okay, because remember when we started this, we talked about winning percentages, right? We never talked about record. We talked about winning percentage in the league. And, you know, think of it like this. We've gotten a lot further down the road than – well, we've gotten as far down the road as most of us would have hedged the bet on in July and August, right? And now we're kind of, you know, let's see if we can get this thing finished. So I'm kind of interested to see how it plays out, and yet at the same time, I feel for you guys, and I feel for Jeff Collins and Georgia Tech, who lost to Notre Dame on Halloween and haven't played since and aren't going to play until the 28th of November at this point.
When you look at this season, and we battle it down here, Joe and I do all the time, that it's no matter what team it is, no matter what the record is, this year has, to date, in my opinion, has already been a success. All these teams that have put everything into it, these coaches, these universities, these trainers, the doctors, just the whole ACC. We'll just stay in our own little box here. These young men are going to carry this with them forever, and this is – I feel fortunate to, in some ways, to be able to be a part of it, to see how they've maneuvered and got these young men safely on the field, because there is no question when you watch on Saturday, they love to play football.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, Don, Tom Luganville said something to me in April when, you know, we were still relatively early in this, and he said, the one thing we're going to find out is who loves football, right? Because just That's the way the process was going to work. And, you know, at that time we didn't understand protocols. We didn't understand testing, and, you know, we didn't know the difference between the saliva test and the PCR test and everything else. And yet, you know, in early June, and I think Miami kind of returned about that same time, if I'm not mistaken, but in early June, mid-June, we had, you know, kids back on campus trying to get ready to do something in September that we didn't know for sure was going to happen until about mid-August, let's be honest, right?
Right.
And those kids made a commitment at that point, A, to try and stay healthy, B, to try and do the right things to stay healthy and the right things to support their teammates. And I think that's your point is well made. I think every day of the commitment the young people have had to make. Look, we all went to college, right? We all know what the college experience is supposed to be. This is a long damn shot from the college experience, what these kids have had to go through this year. You know, it's not anywhere near the college experience. And good heavens, the environment. You know, one of the things I miss more than anything is the few times I've been able to go to site and do a game this year, I miss the fans. I miss the band and the fans and all the things that drew me into this career. And I think it's one of the things that, you know, we'll treasure a lot more when we get it back. But you couldn't be more right in applauding the kids, the coaches, the administrators, and the medical personnel that kind of formulated this plan in this league. And, you know, we got a lot further down the road before we had to do a little bit of a reshuffle than I suspected we would. And now that we've had to do one, I think we've got a better than fair chance to finish it the right way.
You are a master in college basketball. You're able to detangle the ACC races down the stretch. Can you untangle the Notre Dame, Clemson, Miami going down the stretch? Because Notre Dame will finish on the 12th. Clemson will finish on the 5th. Miami will finish, well, on the 12th or the 15th, but how is it that they could win two games and get to the championship game?
Because they need somebody else. You're talking about Miami, right, Joe?
Right, so Notre Dame and Clemson would have to lose some games, right?
Well, no, Clemson has to lose one game because you lost to Clemson.
Correct.
Yeah, if Clemson loses one more game, you're going to the championship if you went out.
But
because Clemson's already got a loss.
Correct. I get that. But they're saying after – this is going to bore our people probably – that Georgia Tech game would be played if it was – the championship game is that day where they push the championship
you're
game
only
back.
Gonna, you, right. But what you're going to be is you're going to be – you will have played 10 conference games. You will have played – I'm sorry, 9 conference games. You'd be 8-1, okay?
Right.
Clemson would have played 10 conference games, would be 8-2. So your winning percentage would be higher than Clemson's.
Oh, okay.
And it would be the two top teams based on the conference winning percentage.
I got you. Okay, so, you said that before, but I wasn't sure if that include. Okay, I got you. So that's our deadline right now is December 12th.
Yeah, because realistically, I mean, I think if Clemson plays it straight, they finish on the 5th, right, at Virginia Tech. That's their last game, if I recall.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, they play. If Clemson were to finish at 10-1, 9-1 in the ACC on December the 5th, and Notre Dame, I think, is done on the 12th at Wake Forest, and let's say Notre Dame wins on the 5th, and even if they were to lose at Wake Forest, their percentage would be better than the Miami's, and Clemson would finish at 9-1. Their percentage would be better than Miami's. Now, could you tie Clemson, you know, and Notre Dame at the end? Sure, you could, but because you lost to Clemson and you didn't play Notre Dame, you'd be on the outside looking in. I guess would be. I'm not sure how the three-way tie works. But I don't think it would get to that because you wouldn't be in the championship game because Notre Dame might be undefeated. If Notre Dame takes a loss, I think it gets interesting there too. I don't know how that – I haven't looked that far because, quite frankly, I got enough going in my head right now. If I do more math, as we talk about on the show, if I end up doing more math, I'll get in real trouble.
Okay, so, well, I hope we have that problem down the stretch. So we'll see. What about your thoughts on the league right now in terms of Notre Dame and Clemson? And hell, Carolina and Wake Forest put on an epic performance the other day. I think the football in the league has been very exciting.
Yeah, it's been much. And Mark said this back when we reset the show in June, and I agree with him. I thought 2020 it was imperative the ACC find a way to play this year. I just felt like the league was going to be really good. I think the league has been really good. I think if we get to some bowl structure, the league will show itself to be much improved nationally. I think Notre Dame has been an asset. I think it's been a great partnership that this has worked out the way it has for both the league and for Notre Dame. I think Clemson is still very good. I don't know. I thought Carolina Wake Forest the other day looked like Wyoming and Hawaii in like a 1993 WAC game, personally. You know, there was only one D in that ball game, and it wasn't in either Carolina or Wake Forest. It was like in Stans or something like that. Neither one of those schools has a D in it, and it was shown in that ball game the other day. But I think there's some really good stories here. I think yours is one of the best in the country because of what just, you know, let's be honest, the arrival of De'Eriq King has been one thing, but just kind of that reinvestment of Miami. I think last Friday night you saw one of the other really good stories in the league in NC State. I think a team that went through some really, really difficult times in 2019, they came back in 2020, embarrassed in the second game of the year by 3 touchdowns at Virginia Tech. They weren't going to let that kind of be their resolve in this year, and they played very different. They played very well, and they've had numerous changes, as you guys know, in the offensive line, and now they've gone back to the quarterback because of an injury. So, you know, you give Dave Dorn a lot of credit, but and Boston College is a great story. They're disappointing sides too. You know, I think we all thought Pittsburgh might be better. That has not proven to be true, in part because of the Kenny Pickett injury. We thought Louisville would be better, you know, and I think Miami exploited a lot of the Louisville weaknesses early in the year, and the Cards have turned it over way too much. Look, this is a better football league, and you guys have known this, a better football league than it gets credit for nationally, because nationally, the one time the league I thought was really, really good, it took till about June or July after Clemson won the national title for everybody to admit the league was really good. You know, we didn't have that 24-hour, you know, declaration. So I think this is a really good, impressive 2020 message. And Notre Dame likely goes back to being an independent. I'm not breaking any news there. But this league, I think, will continue to grow. And I don't know how you guys feel about it. I think the coaching in the league is tremendous. I think the coaching has gotten progressively better in the last 6 to 8 years in a lot of fronts. And I think that's going to wear well for the league as we move forward, too.
I've been so impressed with all of a lot of the quarterbacking. And, I mean, you know, whether we went to Louisville, we went through that, they got a quarterback. You go the NC State deal, that young man, he played – Hockman played better – against us than he did with the week previous. He's done a great job. And then, of course, the North Carolina, you know, he might be the he might be one of the sleepers in the whole country as far as at the quarterback position. And I don't know if he's a sleeper anymore, but he's a pretty darn good guy.
Yeah, I think Don, we did this on the show last week, and then you guys would have fun with this too. Pick out the best position group of players in the ACC. It's hard. I mean, we could talk about quarterbacks up and down the league roster. I could do the same at running back. I could do the same at wide receiver. How about defensive end? Everybody's got a defensive end. I mean, you know, you guys got two great ones, and then you take, how about those two cats at Pittsburgh? I mean, you know, Rashad Weaver and Patrick Jones, they're real. You know, you start looking at guys, I mean, Boogie Basham at Wake Forest is the real deal. And now he's got a guy who's starting to come on the other side. The two kids at Duke are good players at defensive end, Rump and D. Mukhegi. So, look, this league's got – they've got really good units. And I think – and, you know, that's the thing about the league. We've been okay here and pretty good there and so forth. I just happen to think the continuity of the league has gotten a lot better, a lot quicker this time around. And because of that, I think it's got staying power because of how good the recruiting has gone. I mean, Jeff Hafley, apparently, and I don't follow recruiting across the street, let alone for anybody in particular, but Jeff Hafley apparently has done a great job in the Northeast trying to rebuild Boston College from the recruiting perspective. So if that's happening, that's a good thing, I think, for our league too.
Yeah, if leadership stays with the coaches that they've assembled, then these teams will have the time to establish their identities. North Carolina State, I know they waffle on Doran, but you know when you play North Carolina State what you're getting. You're getting a hand in the ground type of team, big all. You're getting Wisconsin of the South.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think you guys saw them run the ball effectively. I think they throw it the right way. I don't think they – try and air it out. They don't get caught up in a scheme game that they can't win, right? I think the other part about it is that you're seeing coaches like Virginia, because they lost Bryce Perkins and they don't run it particularly well, they've had to try and find a way when Armstrong got hurt to scheme you. And I'll even say this too, and I know you guys, walked them down when they came to play you, but I've had Florida State the last 2 weeks, and I think the long runway on the rebuild is evident. And my personal opinion is I think Mike Norvell is going to be a good coach for the Seminoles, but somebody up there is going to have to understand it's going to take a while. You just don't go down the hall, flip a switch,
that's right,
and do what they did in the 90s. It takes a while. And, I mean, you guys can speak to that a little bit. I mean, it's probably taken some time at Miami to get it back, and I know – that's the one thing everybody, I'm sure you guys hate to hear, is Miami back? Well, Miami will be back when they win the beer tap and, in the CFP, right? You guys, when you win that gold trophy is when you're back. But right now, Florida State's got to worry about the process taking place and going through it the right way, in my opinion.
Yeah, you made a great point this morning. See, I watched your show. You can't be in a constant rebuild. Miami can't be in a constant rebuild. We got to let it play out. Let teams get their identity. Play to that identity. Manny Diaz has got a vision, and hopefully he'll have the time to play it out. And I think it will eventually be successful. So we appreciate you taking the time. I know you got early mornings. Thanks for taking the time to join us here tonight. Our next visit, we'll talk about basketball.
Oh, there'll be a next visit? I can't wait.
Well, I hope so.
Hey, Don, yes, you think, sir? I'm just going to let him get back? Think I'm going to let him walk? Tell me he, ditched Robin Roberts and Al Roker for me? He's the one driving around the Williamson Cadillac. He's the one driving around the Williamson Cadillac.
He's got two of them.
I tell you. My morning ritual, I turn on the stock market channel to see what kind of day we're going to have, and then I watch Packer and Durham.
Yeah,
that's all. You posted yourself on Twitter beating your daughter in Stratomatic the other night.
That's correct. That's what I was reduced to. You think I have a great amount of joy doing these games? Of course. I was doing games on my dining room table.
And all I want for Christmas is for you to tell me how to get a two deep on Georgia Tech. Okay.
Oh, no. Don, wait a second. Let me just
please
tell you.
Yeah.
Don,
Yes.
You ought to get Roddy Jones on. Let me tell you a quick story. We got time for a quick story?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Quick story.
Why not?
All right. So Roddy and I are doing the Louisville-Virginia Tech game. And Roddy Jones, you know, I did all of his games, right? So he became a friend, and now, bless his heart, he's got to put up with me on the weekends, right, when we do these games at home or together or whatever the case may be. So Roddy is sitting there in the booth, and Georgia Tech is playing Notre Dame, and they're going to wear those Black Watch jerseys, right?
Right.
And nothing is better than when something happens with Georgia Tech and Roddy sees it happen and it just doesn't work for him, right? So literally he flips on the TV and we're sitting there watching the game and he goes, "Oh my God, we look like Army." I said, "Are you sure it's Army? It looks more like Purdue." He goes, "I don't want to hear that out of you." And I said, "But don't worry. All those guys on the field, Roddy, are above the line. Just so you know, they're all above the line. So everybody's ready to go."
All I know is, I'm sure speaking for Don, is I spent about 8 hours doing mixing and matching, trying to match stats to players of Georgia Tech, and did some deep covert searching on Too Deep for Georgia Tech, and then the game is canceled. And he can't reuse the board either because all the numbers are already in.
No, you gotta kind of work that around. It's okay to have extra man hours this year, Joe. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I'm not complaining. Not like I had anything else to do in the spring. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy.
You guys stay safe. This is always fun to do. I'm happy to be with you. I appreciate you asking me.
And just remember, I'll be watching tomorrow morning. Cup of coffee, Akron, Durham. All right.
We're going to give you a shout out. We'll give you a shout out. Joe Z watching this morning from down in Hollywood, Florida.
There you go.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk.
That's Wes Durham from the ACC Network, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons as well.
Love him, don't you?
Absolutely.
You know what's good? I feel like he breaks your chops a little bit, Joseph. He comes after you a little bit.
I always tell him this story also. His father, Woody, was one of the great play-by-play announcers in this country, the longtime voice of the North Carolina Tar Heels. And truth be told.
Football and basketball,
football,
Joe?
And basketball, but, okay. Just a giant in the industry. And when I was a kid, I could listen to his dad call games on this big radio that my father would have, and it would come crackling into my bedroom, and I would listen to ACC basketball, and I would listen to Woody Durham. And then when I started in the business, the station that I worked for, to the right, that begins with a six, we carried ACC games. So we would carry Woody Durham. Now, lo and behold, we enter the ACC, and his father could not have been nicer to me when we came into the league. And, of course, I think for his dad, one of his great thrills for Woody Durham was the night they beat us in football in 2004 when the guy kicked
when they had that fullback, Joe?
Oh, yeah, Hedgecock.
Hedgecock, yeah.
Yeah, and they kicked the field goal to win and stormed the field. Of course, you were in the locker room that night, not too happy about that, but – his dad could not have been nicer to me. I was driving home one day from Kane's camp, and the ACC network was replaying that game. So I texted Wes and said, "Hey, I'm listening to your father call this game. And by the way, your dad was always very nice to me." His father passed away about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, but just a very, very sweet person and a giant in our business. And Wes, just as nice.
As nice a person as you can run across. And by the way, that North Carolina game, that might have been one of the beginnings of the end.
Oh, yeah. I know. You thought
you
so.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What I remember is the week before we played at North Carolina State, Devin Hester returned the kickoff for a touchdown.
Yep.
We were walking to get our luggage. At that time, we went through the airport, and I said, "Well, the good news is we won. The bad news is we have to go back there next week and play again." That's another right. night game, and we got a bit of an ambush by North Carolina and lost in overtime, and really that was really the beginning of the end.
I saw that coming. That was that game right there. That was one of the first times I saw Miami get out-physicaled in a football game. You know what I mean? They just were not themselves. And that I remember that. I was a little surly in the locker room after that game. That was a tough one to handle.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Maybe not a quick break. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show right after this.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Thanks to Wes Durham for being with us tonight. Of course, Manny Diaz. Also good to hear from Blake James. Got about a minute to go. We're on pause now for the rest of November. So hopefully everything works out the right way, and we'll be back to football in early December against Wake Forest. We'll cross our fingers. We got 8 games in. Hopefully we finish off the season.
We will, Joe. I think it's we got to be thankful for what we have. We got to be especially thankful for the leadership that we have at the University of Miami, and that these kids have been safe through all of this so far.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, some big games in the ACC this weekend. We'll keep an eye on Wake Forest and Duke, Clemson and Florida State, Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh, North Carolina and Notre Dame are both off this weekend. Hurricanes, of course, on pause. We will rejoin you tomorrow with our Hurricanes Rewind show. We'll join you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on WQAM. Thanks to Don and Dan Day, our producer, Joe Zagacki. Thank you for being with us. Have a very pleasant good evening, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.